This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this Gaudete Sunday is according to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. You're invited to be seated. There's lots of ways to talk about what the Gospel text is about. For example, for some of you, hearing the phrase, stand fast. For some of you, suit up. For others, it may be, on your marks, get set. Every single one of those phrases is a phrase of anticipation and preparation. The passage from St. Matthew highlights the Advent theme that Christ Jesus is to be the coming one. He came in human flesh, he comes in his word, and he comes again on clouds of glory. His work centers around his desire to not leave mankind in darkness, in the prison, the house of death. Instead, he comes to you with his gifts, working miracles of healing upon us so that sin and hell do not destroy us. In Advent, we may rightly ask, since Christ is the one who comes to us, how should we ready? How should we be prepared? How should we prepare for his coming? And how do we faithfully respond to his coming? Of course, once you have asked the question this way, it pretty much answers itself. To be prepared for Christ's coming, to be faithful to Christ, this means to be faithful to his word, what he says. But Pastor, that sounds so easy. We would never be unfaithful to the word of Christ. If only it were that easy. Like St. Peter in the garden, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak. We intend great things, but we often fall asleep on the job. For more on this, see diet resolutions for 2022. The opposite of faithfulness to the word of Christ is to take offense at it. If you refuse to take offense, then you are blessed, as Christ says to us today. But there is much at which to take offense. Think about it. Human flesh and human reason find many occasions to be upset with what the word of God says. Most everything about Christ is found to be offensive by someone. Someone, if you were reading Jude, even the church was complaining even then. To be clear, it is not Christ who is offensive, but our flesh colors something as wrong, which is actually pure and good. Human flesh looks to the cross and sees a man hanging there in weakness, pain, and shame. Is this the Son of God? Asked sinful reason. Can this be the only Savior of the world? It sure doesn't look that way to the human mind. Particularly, people stumble at the word only. Men would much rather believe that Christ is one way among many, but the only one? Come on, really? Really, this is just a one-choice thing? We live in a department store world where we have lots of choices. Human flesh looks at the church and sees a pathetic little group. We are weak and despised. We are often seen as sinners. We're seen as hypocrites. Could these be the saints of God who possess his righteousness in Christ? Certainly not, says human reason. Now, so far, we are in pretty good shape. What I mean is that as believers, we recognize some things. We recognize that Christ and the cross as the sweetest sight because they are good news of God's mercy. We see redemption where the sinful world sees offense. When we look at our brothers and sisters, we usually see the body of Christ. We understand that we are not perfect in this world by any means. We forgive and love one another because Christ has so loved us. The harder offense for believers often happens when the offense of the world comes to you. When the world is not content to ignore or put up with you, then they begin to treat you the way they treated St. John the Baptizer. St. John spoke God's word to sinners, including the crushing hammer of the law, which is meant to bring lost souls to repentance, so that they turn to the gospel and live. But some of the more unrepentant ones took offense at him, didn't they? They would not tolerate him, but threw him in jail and eventually relieved him of his head. St. John in prison surely felt the dark weight of gloom of being under the sinful world's condemnation. He had spoken God's word as he was supposed to, and now he was languishing in a cell until he would die. If you imagine yourselves in that situation, you might hope that you would cheerfully face your prospects with joy for the privilege of suffering for Christ. But sinful feelings do not follow that optimistic spirit. St. John's disciples likely also felt deep sadness that their leader was suffering at the hands of wicked men. Such injustice, a hideous transgressor like Herod should not have the power to condemn a righteous prophet like St. John. Was this the kingdom of the coming one? Was this what things would be like once Christ has come? Would the whole world be filled with unjust suffering for his saints? Was John aligned with the wrong team? Was Team Jesus the one that you shouldn't back? So when we face that offensive situation, well, what will you do? Will you be faithful? Will you speak the word in clarity and truth? Or will we waffle a bit in order to get along with others? Compromise a little today and maybe the world will get along with us tomorrow? A little quid pro quo? Will you be a reed blown about in the wind? Will the world push you around so that you will give in on the truth? Will you trade your suffering for comfort and soft clothes? Or will you suffer poverty, discomfort, and mild inconvenience because of faithfulness? God help you to not feel the offense that comes when you speak his word faithfully. When you feel the sting of this world's persecution, then turn your eyes to the cross. The exact place that is so offensive to the world is your comfort. On the cross, Christ was purchasing for you eternal healing. He gave glimpses of that healing in his miracles, sight to the blind, strong legs to the lame, cleansing for the lepers, hearing for the deaf. All the effects of sin upon this world are to be reversed and canceled out by the healing of the Son of God, the coming one. He came and comes and will come again to bring eternal health without disease, without pain, and without sorrow. More than that, he gives you resurrection. The three resurrections he performed in his lifetime were the young man at Nain, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus. But they were only a foretaste of the greater resurrection. The resurrection that he gives to those who believe in him is an eternal resurrection to deathlessness. The grave's power will be reversed and abolished for you. How could the death and rising of the Son of God purchase anything less? This is the good news of salvation for all who have faith. How could you be unfaithful to this? You simply must be faithful to the life and goodness of Christ, who is the life of all the living, faithful in thought, word, and deed. Shall we bow the knee to the powers of this world of death? So many have, haven't they? And where has it led them? Destruction. A moment in the sun of being the ones who were the cool ones, the cool Christians, the ones who weren't bogged down with all this old doctrine, but the ones who could see the future of the church for the 21st century, back in the 20th century. And now they languish in hell, in their own hell of their own making. And they dare accuse us of ignorance. This is the good news of salvation for all who have faith. How could you have anything less? You simply must be faithful, and we will not bow our knees. The one who is with us is greater than the world. He is the light and purity and righteousness. Shall you fear the wickedness of this world? It sure wants you to be scared 24/7. Shall you fear temporary pains that the world inflicts when God has freely given you eternity? The question is the here and right now so foggy and so murky that you are not looking up at the light of Christ? This is exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you in this here and now moment. And it's just outrageous, because guess what? COVID isn't the here and now. That it's not new to have something that's distracting you from your life as a Christian. There's always something. And I recommend you stay away from those fountains of death, those fountains of despair and distraction. Focus on the good things that a Dave in the church appoints for joy. Because these here and now things, they're going to be gone. They won't even be an issue anymore. You don't even have to worry about them. They're right now going, look, I'm a big deal. But later, they will pass away. So we shall not fear temporary pains the world inflicts when God has given us eternity. Indeed, let us be faithful. Speak as St. John did. Let us be willing to suffer and take no offense at the cross we must bear. How could we be unfaithful to he who came into flesh to redeem us? People that believe that Jesus is returning, that they really do believe it, this is the life that they have. A life that the world says, hey, what you believe is old-fashioned, it's dumb, it's sexist, it's racist, it's whatever you want to call it. Because they're afraid to say what it is. It's true, and it hurts my feelings. But we can't be offended at that. We can't be offended when somebody calls us what we believe a lie, when it's not. It's not racist. It's not sexist. It's not any ist other than Christocentrist. Ooh, there we go. How could we be offended at he who comes to speak and to feed us even now? How shall we be offended at he who comes soon to take us to our eternal home? Until then, Christ Lutheran, I pray for God to strengthen you, to give you the hope of the Holy Spirit and faith for the task that is before you, and for the honesty to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.